Dearly beloved, we welcome everyone in the name of the Lord. This morning, we have an English message. Brother Robert will provide the message in English for us. And we're blessed to have Brother Ivan Popovich from the Ostrica congregation. He is brothers to George, Victor, and Dimitri. So we prayerfully ask that you keep these two brothers in prayer as they divide the word this morning.
Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, thou who art in heaven and rules and reigns above, we thank thee for gathering us together within this house of prayer to open thy word and to praise and worship thee. How grateful we are for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is blessed forever, who lives and reigns, who we desire to set our affection upon, and who we desire to follow in life and in death and in the resurrection. We give thee thanks, and we pray that thou would bless thy precious word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the book of Hebrews and read from chapter 3, the first six verses. Hebrews chapter 3, the first six verses. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. May the Lord bless. A few verses that we've read together exhort one of and all of us to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. To hold on to faith. To hold on to the teachings of Jesus Christ, and to hold them to the end, to abide in them, even as we have sung in the opening hymn. In this faith I here abide. In this faith I here abide. The writer of the Hebrews is expressing truths of Jesus Christ to encourage and to spur on the believers, these Hebrew believers, to abiding in the Lord, to holding that confidence. They were tempted to turn back, just as we are tempted. We are tempted by the world to look at the things that it offers and to crave them and to work for them. We are tempted by this flesh that desires to satisfy its own cravings and longings, that does not desire the things that Jesus Christ came to show us bring life. And so we're often tempted And when we give into temptation, we are not holding fast. We are not confident that what Jesus says is true. And we lose our joy. When we compromise the Word of God and go in our own direction, we are not holding fast this confidence. We are not living by faith. We're living by sight. The remedy, the healing, and the medicine for mankind that goes through this tempting and this drawing of the world is to look upon Jesus Christ and to consider him. He says, "Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus, our Lord, is the apostle of our profession. Our profession, this is our faith. This is the things that we believe to be true. And Jesus Christ is the apostle of those things, meaning he is the one that was sent with the message. He was the one who was sent with commands. We do not develop a faith. We do not improvise. The Lord has brought to us everything that we need for life and for salvation and for peace with our Lord and with one another. And he's delivered it to his apostles, those that he sent out to go out into all the world. And they have passed it along, and the word has come to us. And now it is our calling and our responsibility to receive his word, to hold it dear within our hearts, and to hold it fast unto the end in such a way that those who come behind us, our children and our neighbors, can see that we have a Father in heaven who loves and cares for his own. That they can see that there is something different than what the world offers in the life that is following Jesus Christ. And not only following, but truly has Christ living within us. That the peace and the healing that he said he came to bring when he preached to his hometown, that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to help, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the message that the apostle of our profession, the one who has brought us everything that we know and we claim and hold to as truth, Jesus Christ has brought. Our faith, our profession, God has set it up in such a way that what we believe will be reflected in how we live. What we truly believe, what we truly embrace, what we truly profess will be carried out in how we live our lives here below. And when our profession, when we truly believe what Jesus Christ has spoken, we can have this title, Holy Brethren, and partakers of the heavenly calling. It is a high calling. But Jesus Christ has delivered us the truth of how God sees each and every one of us. that he does look down upon us with pity and compassion, with love and care. So much so that he sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We must hold that confidence firm unto the end, that God's intention for us is good, that he does care, that he will provide, that his commands are gentle and for our blessing and for our benefit. Jesus Christ has made it clear that it's the responsibility of each man and woman to hear his word and to repent and believe. We must hold that confidence firm unto the end. It requires of us to submit our will and to humble ourselves and to turn away from the things that God hates and to nurture and cultivate the things that God loves that are found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And while it may be pleasant to think of God's love and his kindness towards us and think that maybe that's easy to hold to, it is far more difficult for us to hold to the idea that we must continue on in yielding to the Lord. For often, we're tempted to think, I'm pretty good, and I've done enough. But the love of Jesus Christ and the way that he carried out his mission was not in that manner. He gave and he spent and he sacrificed and he continued and he gave himself completely for our sake. If he is the apostle and high priest of our profession, we must also profess that that is true. If we want to enjoy the resurrection and the eternal life that can only be found in Christ, we can only follow his way. And that is where we find the challenge of abiding to the end, of holding fast the confidence, because this flesh does not want to do that. We prefer a far easier path. But his path and his way was far rougher, far harder than ours. And why should we complain? Why should we not take encouragement from how he persevered and how he showed us and he blazed the trail for us about what faith is and sent this message for us to embrace? Remember what you've learned from Jesus Christ. Remember how he has lived. And as you consider that, let that encourage you to hold fast your confidence, that you would not let up, but that you would learn what depth of love he is calling us to. It's the depth of love that he loved us with. And there's no end. That is immeasurable. It's beyond our knowledge. So may we never say, it's enough. I've gone far enough. No, we must endure unto the end. We must continue in the faith to the end. And what a blessing. The Lord has not only given us his teaching and has provided the message that his Father has sent him with, but he is also our high priest, the high priest of our profession. And we are comforted by that because this touches our lives. We see in the verse 17 of the previous chapter, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he has observed the plight of mankind. He's observed and seen how mankind cannot get out of the grip of Satan and continues to fall. But he is our high priest. He has offered himself as a sacrifice. He's shown us the way, that way of the cross that provides deliverance from death and from Satan. And he took a hold of this nature, this flesh. He took a hold of it, and he was made like unto his brethren. He experienced temptation. He felt the sting of hunger and that desire. But he showed us victory. He showed us victory, not in taking charge and forcing his way, but in surrender, in giving up himself, in serving and in loving. And he says he is the only, the way, the truth, and the life. That is where we will find our rest and our peace. He's a merciful high priest. High priest is a representative of man towards God and of God towards man. And Jesus, the scriptures teaches us, does intercede for us. He prays for us. In our hours of temptation, when we feel that we cannot press on, he is encouraging us. He is calling us to the Lord. He's standing on our behalf, and he's offering us himself and say, learn of me. Take on my yoke. It's light. It's easy. You will find it when you throw off all of the things of this world and take on only him, that he does provide by his grace and his mercy. He's a faithful high priest. He has made reconciliation for our sins. Thanks be to God for his forgiveness, for his mercy, and for the healing that he provides through his cross and resurrection. Thanks be to God that he was not just sent on this earth to teach and then to leave, but that he was sent into our hearts, that we would have the hope of eternal life, that hope of glory, Christ in you, abiding in you, in his beloved children until the end. Oh, how we need to nurture that place in our life and all of our life, that we would be hallowed unto the Lord and dedicated to him. The Lord truly is dedicated to that purpose. And it is encouraging and it's helpful to know that we have an advocate, one who will not leave our side. And the writer of the Hebrews puts this picture of Moses and his faithfulness within his house and compares and contrasts that to Christ. It is interesting to think of Moses and his house. Where did he live? He was born in a Hebrew home. And then he was cast into a river. Then he was brought into Pharaoh's house. And then he wandered in the desert. And then he came back to Egypt and brought the people out by God's mighty hand and wandered in the wilderness with them for 40 years. And after that wandering, He died and was buried in an unmarked grave. What was his house? It wasn't the physical building of a house like an architect would build, but it was the household. It was God's people. And Moses was called to be a servant among God's people, to deliver them from Egypt. And he was with them. He was with them at Mount Sinai when they disobeyed and they rebelled. And he offered to give himself up for them. But it didn't end that easily for him. He had to continue on. And he was faithful. He stayed with the people until his end. And as a servant, he did a fantastic job. But Jesus Christ, he also has a household. A household of faith, where those who believe upon him and entrust themselves unto him, unto the end, they can all be a part. The teachings of Jesus Christ, of God's love and what he has done, my friend, that extends to you. That invitation is open to you to take on his yoke, to take part in that heavenly calling, to turn away from this world and to embrace Jesus Christ and hold him fast, firmly, unto the end. Jesus is building a house. Jesus is building a household, and it is made up of the faithful. And just as Moses was a part of that house, the one who is building the house, the one who is over the house, is worthy of much more glory. And Jesus Christ is that one. He was faithful to him that appointed him. He was faithful to his Father. And as we see in the example of Moses, how he was faithful as a servant, Christ as a son, he has an ownership and responsibility to stick with his children. He will not leave us comfortless. He has sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to help us in our time of need, to be present with us and by our side. This is who we are to be, Christ's house, and Jesus Christ is faithful in all his house. It is my prayer and my hope that the meditation on Jesus Christ, that he, as he is an apostle, as he is serving as high priest of his people, as he is over his house, and that he will not leave us, but he will be faithful in his house, that we too would also be faithful in our house, that we would be faithful over the ones that God has given us responsibility for, that we would be faithful in the things that God has made us stewards over, and that we would carry out this calling to be holy brethren. It is not a mistake, and it is not a calling that should be denied by false humility. It's a calling to hold fast to in confidence that Jesus Christ himself makes the way for us. We are to follow and abide in faith. May we all find the grace to be a part of his house, to be faithful unto him unto that blessed end, and to inherit eternal life by his grace. Amen.